Welcome back to the Wine That's Something Crazy podcast. It's Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And this week, I have my aunt on the podcast with me. Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure. I'm known as Aunt Marlene. I'm Jenna's aunt from her mom's side. And I am a wife of 42 years, a mother of 32 years. And I have two fabulous grandchildren. One is 9 and one is 6. And I have a fabulous son-in-law whom we all love and we all live together. And God orchestrated that, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Abby, your daughter's been on the podcast twice, yep. And so I'm finally having Aunt Marlene. And so we could just get right into it. The question that I ask every single person that comes on this podcast is, what's the craziest thing you've seen God do in your life or through your life or like just however you've seen God move or seen him do?
Well, I have a lot to say about that. But first I want to tell you that when I was 8 years old, I didn't know Jesus, but I grew up in the church up until that age. Mm-hmm. And my grandparents usually took us to Sunday school, and then my parents would come join us for church. And so we just grew up knowing about church and about God. And I think everybody, like, in somewhere in their knowing, their spirit knows that there's a God, mm-hmm. but they don't know God like I know God. And so I talk about it as the reality of Jesus, and hopefully we'll get into some of that. Mm-hmm. But at 8 years old, I went to my grandfather, who used to be a deacon in the church, and I said, Grandpa, I said, I really want to know who Jesus is. And he said, well, he took me aside and he said, first of all, he read the scripture, John 3:16, and that is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And I was like, but what does that mean? And he said, well, you know, someday we all die and we'll go to heaven and meet God. Mm-hmm. And so he said the next scripture, which was one of my very favorites, is John 14:6. So he turned to that passage in the Bible, and that is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so he explained to me that you have to know Jesus in order to know God. And so as I grew and I grew up and I got married and certain things in my life happened, I began to recognize God, because there's three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. And so I didn't really know what that meant as a young person until I think I was about 26, and I had fallen away from the church. And not that I didn't believe in God, because I still did, and I still chased after Jesus in a way, but I wanted to live in the world. And so I wanted to drink, and I wanted to carouse with my friends and have a party. Even though I was married, I was still like out there having a lot of fun. And so, and my husband wasn't really strict at following God, but he was a Jesus believer too. And so we did some things that, you know, young people do. And we had some regrets, and there was some wounds, and we just had some rough spots in our life because we followed after the world. And so I just remember this one specific time that I was going down the wrong path. And my husband was away and at work, I believe. And I was a broken person. And I knelt beside my bed. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And this was when I believed that Jesus became more real to me, because I knelt beside my bed and I prayed. And I said, Jesus, you need to take this cup from me. You need to remove my burdens and forgive me of my sins and help me to walk closer with you, because I need to know that you're real. I need to know that you're with me. And so right then and there, as I knelt beside my bed crying and weeping out to God, I felt a warm physical embrace, and I felt Jesus touch me. And from that moment on, I knew that I could connect and I could talk to God. And so there's ways that I have learned, and I am 60 years old, so I've had a lot of time to grow in wisdom about how God communicates with us. But I know that Jenna and I have a lot of stories that we could share. And anytime anybody has any questions about that, we would love to answer some of those questions. But I can give you a couple of examples about how things like seem crazy to other people. In my life, I know them as blessings, and I know that they're communications, because we can communicate with God through the Holy Spirit. God calls us to pray. And so when we pray, that opens that line of communications, and our prayers go through the Holy Spirit to God and Jesus in heaven. And so when God hears our prayers, he is there to answer them. And my most favorite scripture is this one, and it is in Jeremiah 33:3, and it is, "Call to me and I will answer great and unsearchable things you do not know." And so that was written for the prophets to know and to understand God and what God's meaning was. But for me, it held very dear, because I know that I can call out to him at any given time, and he hears my prayers. He hears my call. And I talk to him like I'm talking to you. Yeah. So one of the crazy examples of, well, there's several, but I'll give you a couple examples. One is that when my dad passed away, your grandfather, mm-hmm. He died about 19 years ago. And when he passed away, you were really little. Yeah.
I was getting ready to go into kindergarten, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you were finishing preschool. Mm-hmm. And so we all went to New York for his funeral, and that's where we're originally from. And, when his funeral was over, we came home and my mom got on the phone right away. You remember grandma mm-hmm. called us, and she said, "You won't believe what's in the yard." And so you were little, but you probably remember we were in shock, because there was a flower, and it was a gladiola, and my dad loved gladiolas.
And wasn't it like really, really cold outside?
It was
too?
Very cold, and it yeah. should. So my dad, Jerry, he grew gladiolas, but he had contests with his younger sister that lived in Florida and his older sister that lived in New York. And so his younger sister, hers would bloom like May and June, and his would be July. Or June
Aunt
and July.
Shirley?
Yes, Aunt Shirley. Yep. And then Aunt Joyce up in New York, she would go back from Florida to New York and be there in the summer. And hers would blossom mainly in late July and early August. So they crossed over a little bit with each other, but they would like send pictures to each other and joke about whose were prettier and so on. Well, my dad's favorite color was orange. His were his orange flowers. So anyways, outside his bedroom window where he used to sleep before he passed away, there was one stem of an orange gladiola. And it was October. And no, it was actually November 3rd. We came back from his funeral, because I think his funeral was October 28th and or 29th or something. But anyways, we came back and it was there. And I was like, wow, is that crazy? That's so God.
Especially like one, two.
Yeah,
like,
just one gladiola, because they always grew, in bunches. So then another crazy example of Christ and that reality of Christ was even in Jenna's life when mm-hmm. she was about 5 years old, I believe. She had something called kidney reflux. And so her kidneys didn't work properly. And her parents were at church, and they took her up front to get prayed over. Do you remember that?
No. Was this at Family Life?
Family Life Tabernacle.
I don't know. Really
over just... near Greenville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And in Chicago, near Chicago.
Yeah, I remember having the issues. I don't remember.
And so Jenna was going in she had gone in for an ultrasound, and she was going in for surgery the next day. And so her parents were asked to come up front by some friends that were there in the church, leaders in the church, and they prayed over Jenna. And Jenna went to the doctors the next day to see about her surgery, and she was healed. You had no more kidney reflux. You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember. Maybe because I was so young and I didn't quite understand it.
Yeah,
like, what was all going on?
Well, that's exactly what happened. And your mom and dad were like, "We received a miracle today." So that was kind of cool. And then, I could go on and on. Like, there's just so many ways that Jesus has manifested things in the natural world that if we take time to talk to God, the Holy Spirit will reveal those things. And so as we embark on Thanksgiving, we just celebrated Jessica's 39th birthday, and she celebrated in heaven with God. And we know that for sure, without a doubt in our mind, but she celebrated on the 25th of November. And so we lost Jessica and my sister Kathy both within 3 weeks of each other back in 2021. And it's been a hard loss. And so this time, when we come to the holidays, it's hard for people. People, especially that have loved ones that they've lost, or if they're alone, if they're lonely, or you know, or if they've been through a tragedy in their life, or you know, or if they're just struggling, like they don't know what to do next. What's the next step? And so this.
I want to add on. Can I add on a point where you said about like the flower?
Absolutely.
Something like, I don't think I told you and Abby this, but something cool happened. Like, it was when I first started working at Kid Town, and like it was around Mother's Day, and like they had like all like the tulips like outside church and everything. And there was one side of like it's the main doors, and then one side there was a whole bunch of red tulips, and then the other side there's a whole bunch of red tulips. But on the one side that I saw, there was one yellow tulip. Wow. Standing, and it was taller than the rest of them.
Wow.
And I have a picture of it on my phone, and I literally just started crying when I saw it. And
that was your mama's like, favorite color.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was just like, I know mom's with me. I know God has me here for a reason. Like, even though I know that this isn't where I thought I wanted to be, but I know God has me for a reason, and that mommy's looking out for me.
Amen.
And I wanted to add that in there before you started going down.
I love that. I did not know that. That is beautiful. And that's exactly how God shows up. He like, he puts little things in our path that we, if we just take the time to slow down and reflect on Christ, we see those things, and they're almost every day in our life. And I remember the day after we lost Sissy, and we were all in South Carolina because we had been on vacation when her and my sister Kathy both ended up in the hospital, and Jessica passed away that day. But I remember just crying out to God and saying, why so young, and why did she have to go now? And the Lord just gave me this calm and this peace. And so we have another story that it would take too long to share, but my Grammy, when she passed away, my Abby, my daughter, was about 5 years old then. And a dove appeared at her funeral. And we can't explain that because there ain't no doves in New York where we were. But anyway, so a white dove appeared and everybody got to see it. Well, so the day that we were leaving the campground where we were on our family vacation, and Jessica had passed away the day before, I kept hearing a dove. And I was like, what is that? Can anybody hear that? And so after everybody parted, BJ and I were the last, my husband and I were the last ones to leave the campground. And just as he got in the truck to pull out with our camper, well, my daughter's camper, but he got in the truck to pull out, a dove landed in the tree right in front of us. And it cooed and it looked at me, and it gave me such peace because I knew, not that the dove is Jessica, but that was God's sign to me that because of the past circumstances of my grandmother, that was God's sign to me that Sissy was okay and that she was happy. So this past summer, we were, my husband and I were going to go down and be with your dad and Grammy, my mom, at the campground, again, the place that we love to go to. And Friday night, BJ and I, my husband and I, were getting ready to go to the campground, and we went out to grab some food, and we were going to grab some snacks to travel with down to South Carolina. And so we pulled back in our yard, and as we pulled in, the fence that's in my backyard, we pulled straight in front of it so we could load up in the morning. A dove flew and landed right in front of my car. And I went, well, hi, Jess. And I said, what are you doing here? Are you telling me that you're going to see me at the beach? And I said it, you know, a little crazy, you know, but like I said, it really is just God manifestation showing us that our loved ones are near. And so I looked at that dove and I said, I'll see you at the beach. So do you know that I went and we arrived at the campground, I think about 10 a.m. with your dad and Grammy, and we were all sitting outside and I looked at them and I said, by the way, I just want you to know that the dove's going to show up down here this weekend.
Did it show up that time?
And then, nope, it did not show up at that point on Saturday. So we went around, Grammy and I and Uncle BJ rode around on the golf cart and we did a bunch of stuff and we had a really good night. And just really enjoyed our time with your dad and Grammy. Well, then the next morning, I said, I'm sure the dove's going to show up. And your dad and Uncle BJ, my husband, were sitting outside underneath the awning. And your dad goes, Marty, that's my nickname, points up. And right above your father on top of a pole was the dove. And she cooed and she stayed there a very long time. And so I know that that's God just giving us the things in the natural so that we know that he's with us and he walks with us every day. And he'll talk with us. He'll listen to us. He'll hug us. He'll just be there with us if we just look for it.
Yeah. And if someone is struggling to see that, God wants to he wants to express that to you. He wants to show that side of him. And a thing that I pray for every single day, on the way to work, is God, just open my eyes to see something about you today. Kind of those little signs. And it's just praying to God to open your eyes to see those. Cause sometimes we could miss them with our busy lives and things that happen every day.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that get in our way, in our path. Yeah. That prevent us from doing it and seeking God. And don't get me wrong. I am not perfect at reading the Bible or spending time with God on a daily basis like that. And sometimes even my prayer life is terrible. I would admit it first thing off. But I know that I always go back to God. And I know that he is always available. He always listens. And he's always ready to catch us when we fall.
When you were talking and you were talking about going back inside, when you're about to go camping, it made me think of the story that Abby told about with the coloring page that flew off the fridge. I know that's more Abby's story, but can you give a little glimpse about that? Because that was really, really cool.
So I think that God allows, like I said, in the natural things to happen. So that we can remember and we reflect. And it's important to reflect on, number one, the word of God, but number two, on the miracles, the gifts that he gives us. And so Aunt Kathy, Ellie's birthday came along, and Aunt Kathy, Jenna's mom, always made pictures. She liked to color and draw. And so she made a picture for Ellie's birthday, and she signed and dated it and love the whole family listed. And so it was Mike Wagowski from the Monsters, Inc. story. And at the time, that was one of Ellie's favorite movies. And so she gave her that with her birthday gift. And we posted it on our refrigerator. And Ellie's birthday was in May, and Kathy passed away in August. And so we were in the kitchen, and I think Abby was going to do something in the refrigerator or whatever. And when she went to open the refrigerator, the picture was under a couple of magnets. It literally, we're going to laminate it now because it's kind of getting rough. It's been a couple of years. But so we just recently took it off, but it was there the whole time. And so from May to August, it was on the refrigerator. And then after Aunt Kathy passed away, there were several really cool, crazy things that happened that we know that Aunt Kathy was near with us and with God was with us. And so anyways, that picture literally came off the refrigerator, floated and landed in front of Abby on the floor. And there's just no possibility. There was no breeze, no window open, nothing that would make it come off the fridge, but it fell off the fridge and landed in front of her face up. And so I think that was God's gentle reminder that because Abby and Eliana were having a rough time at that point, thinking about your mom and missing her and Sissy, because they had a unique relationship. Mm-hmm. And so that was just one cool aspect. And I know that there's so many more that, I mean, God actually told me to write a book and call it The Realities of Jesus. I haven't done it. I've been disobedient, but it
sounds like we both have been like, been yeah. told that we need to write a book yep. and we haven't done
yep.
it yet.
Yep. And I really intend to, but I love to tell the stories to people because I met my guardian angel years ago. I was going through another rough time. It was around the same time that I had knelt and prayed. And I felt like betrayed by my family and just different things were happening. And so my husband took me to his campground where he worked. And I stayed there all summer with Abby in the camper. And I didn't really have any connection with family. And I stayed away. It was really more my best friend and stuff. We had some rough spots. And so I had to have a physical touch. I wasn't well. And so I was walking for help. And I just had this girl come up to me, and you could see 1 mile one way and 1 mile the next. They were just open fields. And this lady comes walking up out of nowhere, and I look up at her and I'm like, well, hi. And so we start talking. We strike up a conversation. And when we did, I was just like enthralled and just like intent on listening to what she had, good advice, and she was really uplifting and encouraging. And so I was like, wow, she is so neat. And I figured she was staying on the campground. So we said our goodbyes and I turned to walk away, and she just had this really unique hat on, and I can't describe it, but there was a show, I think it was called like One Day at a Time or something a long time ago, like a sitcom. And the daughter always wore that funky hat. Well, this lady had this funky hat on. So that resonated with me. It was just something I identified her with. So I just was like, wow. So I turned to look to say something else to her. I wanted to know what campsite she was on. And she was completely gone. She was not anywhere to be seen up or down that road. And there's no way that she could have got away that fast.
Yeah.
And so I know then that it was my guardian angel. And I know that we each have one. The Bible tells us we do. And so I had the opportunity to meet mine. And I think that my Eliana met hers this summer. We were at a splash pad, and this little girl just followed her around, and she was real quiet. And she was very unique looking. I cannot describe, but her hair was like silk, and it looked like copper. You know, like a copper kettle, a bright, shiny mm-hmm. copper kettle. Her hair was so beautiful and vibrant. I have never seen anything like that naturally before. And I and Abby both just kind of looked at each other, and the little girl was so sweet. And then all of a sudden, she went over and sat on the bench, and the next thing we know, she was gone. And I think she was just there loving on Ellie, because Abby had talked on one of your podcasts about how Ellie had been bullied and so on. And she just needed that encouragement and that love from a stranger, and yeah. she received it. And so I'm pretty sure that was her guardian angel, which was really cool.
I love that. Yeah. So I guess with like today being Thanksgiving and going into Christmas and going into the holidays and the new year and everything, like around the holidays can always be tough, always be sad, and especially around like the dinner table. Like, how does God comfort you around the holidays during like this?
Well, time? I honestly, I've been reflecting on that a lot, and I do that every year. Mm-hmm. It's been really hard. I remember the first Christmas, well, the first Thanksgiving after we lost Jessica and Kathy. It was actually Jessica's birthday that Thanksgiving.
And Sissy loved when Thanksgiving was on her birthday.
She did. She did. It. She liked to share the holiday with her birthday. Mm-hmm. And so I know that I bought a whole bunch of gingerbread house pack kits. And we had a gingerbread contest, because mm-hmm. that would be something that Jessica, Sissy would love, was to do something fun. She mm-hmm. was always so creative, from the fat kid desserts in her life to going on a donut run. She always brought a craft to Ellie, even at a little 1 year old. She would bring a craft to our house to do with Ellie. She always did it with other friends, kids too, and just was a really great sister to you growing up, and just was always mindful about celebrating life. And that was one thing that I really enjoyed about Jessica. There was a short time when my husband and I and my daughter and her husband and Eliana had the opportunity to stay with your sister and live in her house while ours was getting remodeled. Mm-hmm. And she would come and just sit at the foot of my bed at night, and we would just talk and laugh and giggle about the craziest things, you know. Yeah. But I just remember that very first holiday. We all were heartbroken, but it was so good to do something that she would have enjoyed and that your mom would have enjoyed. And I think that it helped to lighten everybody's hearts just a little, you know, that first year. And then I know that other celebrations have come around. And even when we had Christmas that year at Jason's and Laura's house, and we all sat around and we talked about the silly and fun things that we remember about them. And some were serious and some were really, really way out silly fun. And I know that I think even now I'm reflecting on like losing my Grammy, who I was close to, my mom's mom. I remember that last Christmas and Thanksgiving, she told me, she called me and said, I can't come to Thanksgiving and I can't cook, Marty. I can't cook. She wasn't feeling very good. And I said, but it's okay, Grammy. You don't have to cook. Everybody will make food and bring it, you know? And so they did that year. A lot of our relatives went and did that for her. And that Christmas, I got the final picture with her and my mom and my Abby and myself. And I had made my Grammy a sweatshirt. I used to love to do like these appliques and put paint on them and make them real pretty. And I made her a holiday sweatshirt, because she loved Christmas and it was red and she loved red. And so I reflect on those things, like, because that brings me closer to them when I have the memories. And it also helps me to remember that God, they're with God. And I will tell you a little story, side story from that, is that as my Grammy got older, I used to spend a lot of time with her, with Grandma Marion, my mom's mom. And so there was a time when I wanted to know if she knew Jesus. And so she never went to church, but three times. One time was, well, our wedding. She did go for my sister's wedding and my wedding. But she came to Abby's baptism when she was dedicated to Jesus. Then she came to Abby, to our church, for Abby's graduation from preschool. And then she came one other time to church, but she wouldn't go to church very often. And so I said, Grammy, I'm going to give you this. And I gave her a pamphlet, and it was from the Billy Graham Ministries. And it talked about Plan of Salvation. And I said, I'm going to see you next week, and I want you to read this. And when I come back to see you, I want you to tell me about it. And so she read it. And the next week I showed up, because I always took her to get her groceries and drove her places and stuff, doctor's appointments. And I said, Grammy, I said, so did you read the pamphlet I gave you? And she said, oh, Marty. She goes, I've been watching Billy Graham for years. And she goes, I accepted Jesus a long time ago. And I was like, you did? And so at the end of her life, she said to me, we had some really beautiful moments. And I know that you were not there. Abby was little and you were little. But we all went down to my Grammy's trailer, because she was going into shock because her kidneys were shutting down, and the doctor would come and check on her and stuff. So he was making house calls. And I just remember that we talked a lot around her, even though she was coming in and out of consciousness. And I remember conversations I had with her that summer, and she would tell me that she had a visitor. And I'd be like, who was it? And she would say, well, I don't know. I don't know what his name was. He just sat with me on the porch one day. And I was like, oh, is that okay? And she was like, yeah, it was fine. And then another day, and as we got closer to March, she passed away in March 17th. was the day, and that was St. Patrick's Day, and she was Irish, so it's kind of unique. But anyways, I don't mean to drag this out, but anyways,
no, it's okay. You're good.
She kept telling me about this stranger coming to visit her, and I would get anxious because I was like, who is coming to see my Grammy, and we don't know who this is, and I was really worried about somebody taking advantage of her and Uncle George. Mm-hmm. And so she said, one day she finally said to me, my visitor came again. And I go, he did? And she said, yeah. And I said, what did he look like? And she said, well, I couldn't see his face. And I go, you couldn't? She goes, no, he was all dressed in white. He came to my bedroom. And I said, oh, well, then right then I knew that it was an angel. And I said, Grammy, I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, I couldn't see his face. And she said, he asked me if I was ready. And I told him to no, get, I'm not ready yet. And that was, you know, about a month before she passed away. Yeah. And so I believe that the angel was coming to usher her into heaven, and God listened to her and allowed her more time. She just wasn't ready yet. And she said that, and he listened. And so I know the night that she passed away, the next morning she passed away, all of her grandchildren were sitting around her bed, and there were so many of us in her room that we literally had to put our feet under her bed to fit. And we sang Amazing Grace, and it was literally like the whole corner of the room lit up, and you could like see like a light shining on her face. And she literally lifted up, and she, now mind you, she was coming in and out of consciousness, mm-hmm. and she didn't say a word, but her mouth was talking. She was talking to somebody, and we believe it was the angels that she was talking to. And I think that the angel came to usher her into heaven, because absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so I think that she was, and so did the rest of us. But we continued to sing hymns and songs to her that whole entire night until like 6 in the morning. And she passed away around 7:30. And so I know that God was with us through the whole thing, and he was right there with her. And his angel helped her to usher into heaven when she left her body. It was really beautiful.
That is really cool. That's crazy just to see like all like the cool things that like happen, like all like the cool things that God does. Like if someone that doesn't know Jesus and doesn't know God, like they'll think you're crazy.
Yeah,
like
they think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I do too sometimes about myself, but that's
like,
okay.
That kind of like is like the reason why I started like wanting also the crazy, is because like when you get to know Jesus and like you are walking with Jesus, it's like people are going to think you're crazy. Like there's like a song that Newsboys have, and it's called Crazy People. It's like the world calls you crazy and like says like all this other stuff about you. But like at the end of the day, it's like Jesus didn't call us to be liked by the world. He didn't call us to like conform and just go with what the world says and what the world's doing. Like we're made to stand out. Like we're made to be crazy in the sense of the world. But like, in reality, like, it's not crazy. Like, if you read the Bible, like, Jonah was in a whale for 3 days and got spit out of the whale.
Yeah.
And, like, all, like, the others, or, like, Daniel was in the lion's den. Yeah. Didn't get touched by the lions.
That's
like,
right.
That's crazy. Like, so it's just crazy to think about.
Yeah. There are so many stories in the Bible like that talk about like the walls of Jericho come tumbling down after they marched around the city. And I just think about the things that people miss because they don't talk to Jesus, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my wish and my prayer for the holiday season is if somebody's lonely or in despair or just really not sure what to do, that they would come to know Jesus. I mean, you can do it in the privacy of your own room, your own house. Just kneel and pray and just say, I believe. And
it even says that, like, you don't need to pray in front of people. Like, go to your bedroom door and close the door. I don't know what verse that is. But
confess your sins with your mouth and accept and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Yeah. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. So,
you kind of were touching on this a little bit, but more in depth, like, do you might have, like, a piece of advice for someone that maybe this might be their first holiday going into the holiday season without maybe a loved one? Do you have any like piece of advice or advice to us?
Well, again, I think that if you surround yourself with loved ones, and you talk about the memories, it hurts sometimes, but it also heals. I think that when we share our feelings and our emotions about our loss or our loneliness or our despair, it helps things to come out into the light. And I know when things are kept in the dark, then their darkness will dwell. And so in order to get rid of that darkness in our life, we have to talk about it. We have to fellowship. We have to let things out into the light. And so
darkness is the enemy.
Yes.
Like,
yep.
Darkness and light are separate. And like when things are kept in the darkness, like that's where the enemy has all of the control.
That's right. And so we don't want him to have any control in our life. And so again, like go and connect at a group like Jenna is part of, and that's called
Young Adult Ministries.
And where is it through?
Hope Community Church.
And
guys plugged me into that like as soon as it was like a month after Mom and Sissy passed away.
We knew that you needed to connect, and so try. I mean, that's my advice to anybody that might have loss or just really struggle with the holidays. And it could be a thing totally different than a loss of a loved one or anything. It could be just you're not where you want to be in your career, or you're not succeeding, or you lost your job, or your girlfriend or your boyfriend left you, or maybe you're struggling with a family member, or I mean, it could be anything. But connect with somebody, go to a church that is Bible believing, and get to know people that maybe have the same circumstances as you do, and don't be afraid to share and be a little vulnerable so that God can take that darkness and shed light on it and open up a whole new world of relationship with people and with God.
Is there any like going off of that, like, is there any like scriptures that stand out to you that comforts you during this time?
Well, I mean, and again, I love, the book of Jeremiah. And that's my favorite scriptures again, Jeremiah 33:3, but also Jeremiah 29:11 talks about God saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future." And so I know that God's plan is perfect for each and every one of us, whether we have struggles, because nobody's life is perfect. And we will all have struggles, because in this world, you will have tribulations. God says that we will, but we can get beyond those. We can survive and not crumble if we do call on the name of the Lord and we do trust him to take us through the dark valleys. And so my granddaughter is dancing to a song that's called Flowers for her solo this year. And it talks about how the flowers grow in the valley. And so I know that we have lots of times where we're actually in the mountaintops, and that's a really good place to be. But we don't grow. Things don't really grow. A lot of times mountains are bald or snow covered. Right? They have rocks on them. They don't necessarily have grass and trees and flowers, and the higher you get. And so when you look down at the valleys and you go through those valleys at times in your life where you have the struggles and stuff, that's where we grow the most, right? Yeah. And so again, if you look back at Jeremiah 29:11 and know that he has plans for us, that we can hold on to those scriptures and God's word and know that he does, and it will be made perfect in his time.
And he knows that plan of why we had to lose Sissy so early on, and why we had to lose Mom. Like, God has a plan for that, and why that had to happen.
Yep.
Like, I talk to my mentor about this all the time. It's like about like the whys. Like, I don't understand. Like, I keep bringing up like the why does this have to happen? Why does this have to happen? And it's like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, I could say all the time, Jesus, like, our God has an overall plan for it. But, like, to really dig down deep and believe that is what's going to draw you out of continuing to be sad, continuing to like be down at yourself of like, okay, this sucks and like I miss them every single day, but like God had an overall plan, even though I can't see that right now. Amen. And I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I know it's going to be there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and talking about that, there's a song that talks about, thank you for giving to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I am a life that has changed. And so I believe that Sissy and mom, because your mom was so loved in her job, mm-hmm. that they literally hung a picture of her outside of her door, because she used to give allergy shots, but they hung a picture at one of the offices that she worked at and outside the door, and it's still there. And so that picture talks to people that they miss her. And strangers to me have said to friends of mine, well, we go to the Triangle Allergy Clinic, right? Isn't that what it was called? And so they tell me, oh, I went to the allergy clinic the other day and there was a picture of your sister there. And strangers were telling me how much they missed her. And so she made an impact there. And then at the funeral, we had the double funeral. And at the funeral, the audience or the church was full of people. They were full of people that knew your mother, but they knew your sister too. And so there were so many, and I know that some people came to know Jesus because of the message that was shared, the gospel was shared at their funeral, and the fact that those people loved your sister, and they loved your mother, and they were there for that reason. And so I can guarantee you that they're going to be people that are going to go to heaven someday, and they're going to sing that song, thank you for giving to the Lord, because I am a life that was changed by you. And so I don't know why they both had to die so close together, and I won't know until we get to heaven. Mm-hmm. But I do have a real tremendous sense of peace that
and when we get to heaven, like our thoughts are like, I think about this often, and like when I ask the question, like when I do get to heaven, like you're not even going to want to ask the question because you're just going to be so excited because you're there. Like you're there to see Jesus, and you're there to see mom and sissy and grandpa and everybody else. Like that question is not even going to be at the front of your brain,
right?
Like it's gonna be,
but I will tell you this, I will tell you this, a very wise old Christian person told me this one time, that it will be an instant that we will know. Okay, so why did Abraham Lincoln have to get shot? This was one of the questions that I posed to the person that explained this to me. And or why did you know, such and such happen in the world? And they looked at me and they said, when you get to heaven, you'll know. And I'm like, but what do you mean by that? You'll know? Will you ask? Will you? And they said, it will be an instant knowing that when we get there, all of our questions will be answered immediately. We will know. And so once we get there, like you said, we will be so full of joy and excitement, and we will be celebrating the Lord that, but we will already know, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it taught, there's, like a long time ago, somebody told me a story about how God has these index files, and you have to grow up in my era back in the day. When we would go to the library, we didn't look something up on the computer or tablet. We had to literally pull a card file out, and they would be really long. And if you were looking for a book, a specific book, you would have to go through those cards alphabetically to find that thing, right? That book, that, you know, that reference, that something to write your report, your book report for school or whatever. And so I think about that and how God has a file of our entire life and one of those index files. And so it's just so cool that he knows every hour, every minute of our life, and he's categorized them. He knows every hair on our head, right? Yeah. So he knows our day and our hour. He knows the time that he's going to call us home. And so I believe that he looked at, and that was a story that I could tell you too. This could last a long time. So anyways, he could, you know, tell us because he has that plan for us. But I will tell you about Jenna's dad. After Jessica passed away, about a couple weeks later, Kathy, we thought, was rallying and going to get better at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And we were all excited and praying and just trusting her. And so this one Thursday night, the Thursday before she passed away on Saturday. We all got to call her and talk to her. Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah.
Each one of us passed the phone around, and the nurse had put the phone up to her ear. And we got to say our goodbyes. Basically, we didn't know they were our goodbyes, but we were all talking to her and telling her how much we loved her and we wanted her to come home and that she needed to get better. And so that very night, Grandma and your dad both still had COVID.
Yeah.
And well, no, they didn't. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Grandma, did she have heart surgery or something? She had, remember she had the doctor at home?
She had the oxygen.
And then she had that square box that was called hospital at home. That's what it was called. Yeah. And so every like morning and then noon and at nighttime, the nurse from the hospital would call her on the phone and they would talk through this box and that they would ask her how she was doing and they would have her do her weight and her fluid level or her blood oxygen and so on and so forth. So she had to do her blood pressure, her weight and her blood oxygen and tell them, and they would, you know, take reference and she would have to write it down. And so that night your dad was sleeping in the recliner next to Grammy's recliner because we were still worried about her recovering from COVID. And I couldn't come in because I worked at the daycare and they didn't want me to be affected by COVID. Mm-hmm. And so your dad was in the chair and that box lit up. And he heard that night, he heard, "Well done. Well done, my daughter. Welcome home," or something like that, your dad told us. And did he ever tell you that?
He said the whole, like, the room lit up and everything.
Yep.
And then that was the same night that Mom's oxygen levels, like, went really, really low.
Yeah. And I think that she passed away then. Yeah. Honestly, I think her body was still alive. But I think her spirit
to be able to get there that Saturday
to say your goodbyes. But I think that her spirit had already went to heaven and God was showing your dad that he accepted your mom into heaven and he ushered her in that night. And so what a beautiful opportunity for your dad to have that moment, because I mean, they were married for 40 years, right? Close to 40 years, 39. And so he had a beautiful opportunity to have that moment to know that she was there. And I know that he misses them tremendously, as does Grandma and you and Jason and Jonathan and us, you know, all my family. But I wouldn't wish them back.
Yeah, and I don't think they would want to come back either.
No, me neither.
Like after like seeing everything that's in heaven, seeing how crazy this world is down here, they're like, heck no, I ain't going back.
Yeah.
I remember you and Grandma told us the story. It was when me, Jason, and Jonathan, Dad, we were all at the beach seeing Mom.
Yeah.
And, like, you were here. I think, was it you and Abby, or was it just you?
Just me. And no, Abby might have been here that night. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But anyways.
It was that night that I might have been going into the morning of Sunday.
Yeah.
And when Mom actually passed away.
Oh, yeah. No, I was here with Grammy by ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And the dog woke up. And
yeah,
got up and Grandma, and she barked. And it was at the exact time when your mom passed away.
Yeah, literally went over and just sat her head on Grandma's shoulder.
Grandma's lap. Yep, she did. And she knew. She knew. So, and another time. Like
even the time, like, when Sissy, before she got to the hospital, like, she was in the camper.
Yeah.
And literally Lily was pacing in the back bunkhouse. Like, it was, like, late. Like, it was, like, probably like 2 o'clock in the morning, and like Lily should most likely should be sleeping, but she was pacing. And like I remember like Dad moving the fan because you had the fan back there because it gets hot, and Lily literally went right over to Sissy and like dropped to her feet. And at that moment Sissy sat up and started throwing up. It's like Lily knew, like no one, it's crazy to think about. It's like, how do you describe that? Like, yeah, a dog knows, but like a dog, God probably told the dog, it's like, hey, like,
prompted
like,
the dog.
Yeah, yeah. To go do it. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. That's like one of those, want to know something crazy.
Yeah.
And we've shared a lot of crazy stuff tonight.
We're definitely probably going to have to talk more about it more on another podcast, because this podcast is probably already super, super long. But is there anything else that maybe you want to share?
I just want to say thank you. It's been a pleasure, and that I'm really proud of you for doing this. And it does my heart good to be able to share, because I want everybody to know Jesus. And we don't know from one day to the next when we'll be here and when we won't. And so this is a great opportunity for you to share your heart with people. And I'm just proud of you. And I'm happy that I was invited to be on.
Thank you.
And I wish everybody out there a very happy Thanksgiving and many blessings throughout the holiday season.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. And we're so glad that if you stuck all the way to this end podcast, it's probably super, super long. I'm just so glad that you guys would take a lot of the stuff that we brought or said and just take it into your life and just apply it to your life. And yeah, like, accepting Jesus is the best decision you'll ever make.
It's the best gift you'll ever get, too.
Yeah. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you next week. And have a good rest of your holiday. Bye, guys.